Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Mind Shift Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Clint Haycock. Glad to be back here home on The Rock in North Wales. If you've been listening to my show at all, you'll know that in the last few months I've been shuttling back and forth over the pond from Manchester here in the United Kingdom over to Seattle. And I've been staying with my wife's family, and as I mentioned last week, my wife's basically quit her job to take care of her father, who unfortunately was diagnosed with a brain tumor, and he did sadly pass away a few weeks ago. But I'm coming back across the pond in September, and if you've also been listening, you'll know that on September the 16th, we are having a live Mind Shift podcast recording at my friend Big Steve's studio in the Kent area, which is southeast of Seattle up on East Hill. And so if you are in the Pacific Northwest, or if you're coming into Seattle for the Derek Webb concert, which is on the Saturday night, the night before, if you're coming in for that gig, then you want to be a part of our Mind Shift podcast live audience. We're going to be taking questions from the audience. I'm also going to be interviewing Stacey Ray, who was on the show a few months ago. So if you haven't caught those episodes with Stacey Ray, Finding Rest on Your Spiritual Journey, there's two episodes of those podcasts that Stacey and I did. You can kind of get a feel of where she's coming from. We're going to be talking to Stacey for a bit, taking questions from the live audience. Now, if you cannot be a part of that, if you're not in the Northwest area for that recording, you can still be a part of it by sending us your questions, your comments for us to discuss, like a question or a topic. You can send me that. You can probably, the best way to do that, send me a direct message on Twitter. You can follow me there at MindShift2018. And I'll also put Stacey's details on Twitter on the show notes as well. So you can find out. There's actually a couple different ways you can get a hold of me. You can email me or find me on Facebook, the Mind Shift podcast page. So there's a lot of ways to get a hold of me. The best question, the best topic, as voted by the audience, will win a prize. It's either going to be, I think, a signed copy of Stacey's new book, which is Into the Forest, or there's going to be some Mind Shift podcast t-shirts going as well. Also, I'm still collecting votes for my episode that I did a few weeks ago called Crazy Church Stories and Dinner with the Devil. I'm looking for the best, what you think is the funniest, the most hilarious, crazy church story. The winner of that will receive a Mind Shift podcast t-shirt as well. So be sure and cast your votes for which story you think is the funniest. Right now, it's tied between the story of the girl whose pastor father at 14 asked her if she was dating, and she said no. So he threatened to take her to the doctor to have her hymen checked to see if she was still a virgin. And the other one that's a little bit further in the lead right now is the story of the emergency ambulance crew that landed in a helicopter in the church parking lot because there was an accident nearby. And the deacon, rather than praying for the poor man who was in this terrible motorcycle accident, was actually cursing the paramedics because the people couldn't get into the church building for their service. So that story is slightly in the lead. So cast your votes now for what you think is the craziest, most bizarre church story. Now, speaking of funny church stories, this episode today and next week are going to slot right into that same vein. When I was in Seattle the last time, I sat down with a good buddy of mine. His name's Jeff Judd. And we actually went to Christian high school together. That is, until he disappeared about 3/4 of the way through our 9th grade, our freshman year. And I'm going to let him tell you the story of why he was suddenly disappearing from the school, never to return. And so we connected on Facebook years ago, and we stayed in touch. And when I was there the last time, as I say, we sat down and did a podcast recording. And you know, in a way, we're laughing through the tears, I guess you could say, because we're talking about growing up evangelical. You can't make this shit up. The crazy, insane stories of growing up and going to Christian high school, a fundamentalist Christian high school, and some of just bizarre, strange, unbelievable stuff that comes out of such a context. And what's funny to me is interacting with people, especially on Twitter and the ex-evangelical Facebook page, you hear these crazy church stories, you hear the responses that people give you when you ask them questions about their, you know, growing up years in the evangelical or fundamentalist church, talking about purity culture, talking about all these crazy rules that they try to apply and how it messes kids up. And I think now looking back on it as an adult, you think, my God, what the hell were they doing? What were they thinking? Why does all these rules in this school, this Christian school, how does that apply to, first of all, simply learning and getting an education? And then second, what does that have to do with being a quote unquote good Christian, a good Christian kid, a good Christian boy or girl, making you wear certain clothing and having dress codes and hair codes and all the rest of it? What in the world does that have to do? And what does that teach a kid as far as what God expects from us? Because what we find so much of the time is now looking back on it, we're raised in it's a very cult-like environment. It can be very cultic in that way. A lot of rules, a lot of control, a lot of fear, being controlled through fear. And now growing up and having, you know, looking back on it and saying, my God, we needed therapy. We need counseling to deal with the bullshit that they put us through in places like Christian schools and places like these churches that many of us grew up in. And if this doesn't describe you, it doesn't matter. You're gonna have a good time listening to this episode and next week's as well. Cause Jeff is one of the funniest guys I think I've ever met and one of the greatest storytellers. So I'm going to let Jeff tell you a bunch of zany, crazy stories, and I'm going to chip in a few too. So without further ado, let's go on into it. I'm going to bring you part one with my good friend Jeff Judd. Growing up evangelical, you can't make this shit up. All right, I'm here with my good friend Jeff Judd. You want to say hi to everyone, Jeff?
Hey, Glenn, how you doing, man? Thanks for having me here, bud.
Yeah, good. I'm sitting in Jeff's kitchen right now. We are in lovely downtown Kent, Washington. And it's funny because I grew up 10 minutes from here, so we're literally right in my old stomping grounds. Yeah. I've been back here in Seattle for about 5 weeks, and we finally got together to do this podcast.
Definitely, yeah. We've been talking for a while about this.
Yeah, and we were supposed to get together with Bob Grayman as well, which is a friend of ours. We all went to Christian High School here in Seattle years ago. Okay, that was a long time ago.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to remember how long. It was in the 80s, let's just say. The early 80s.
Yes.
Back when it was, you know, spandex and big hair
and you know, white pants.
Oh, yeah. Did you ever have white Levi's?
I did.
Dude, I never had white Levi's. I had black Levi's, though.
I had white Levi's. Remember on Thursdays were chapel day?
Yeah, we had chapel. Mandatory chapel.
Yes. And yes. I wore my white Levi's on chapel day.
You got away with that?
Yes.
How did you get away with wearing white Levi's on
because
chapel
they
day?
Said you couldn't wear jeans, right?
They're jeans.
Nope, they weren't jean colored.
Oh man, that's hilarious. The boys were supposed to wear like dress slacks, and the girls had to wear dresses.
And you had to wear a collared shirt.
You had to wear a collared shirt. So yeah, it was crazy. I think I got in trouble a few times for forgetting to wear, you know,
the
slacks
shirt.
And the collared shirt. Imagine that, being told you can't, you know, you have to worship God somehow with a collared shirt.
Right.
Or a dress.
Why not?
You're telling me God actually cares what we're wearing?
Well, if you remember, every Monday they had the mandatory haircutting day.
Yes, I did. I remember the inspections.
They would come in with rulers and measure your hair.
Are you kidding me? I remember.
I left every Monday.
I got
Monday.
Busted a few times.
I left every Monday.
So you got told you had to have a haircut every Monday?
Either they would cut it right there.
Really?
Or you could go home. I would go and call my mom, and she would come get me, and she would stand there. I remember above the secretary's desk was a picture of Jesus, right?
With long hair.
And she just would point at it and go, why isn't his hair cut?
Exactly. Jesus would fail the hair code at our high school.
And the dress code.
And the dress code. He's wearing a robe. He's got long hair and a beard.
And a beard.
Although beards were okay, I guess, but you couldn't have long hair.
Right.
Yeah, I remember your hair couldn't touch your ear, and it couldn't touch
your collar. So you know how we got around that?
How do we get around that? I'm trying to remember.
Me and Bob, after we finally figured out we didn't want to get our hair cut every fucking Monday, so we would go into the bathroom and put it up. Now, there was no law on how high your hair could be.
Ah, that's right. I'm remembering this now. You could spike it up,
yes.
Basically.
And then, I guess when Bob's little brother went there, they did imply a high law.
So no high hair.
Right.
Yeah, so if it was down, it would touch your collar and your ears, but if it was shoved, what would you do? Like spike it up with what, gel in it? And
water, whatever we had.
Whatever
soap,
you had.
Whatever we had in the
soap, yes. Hair.
Whatever was at our disposal, it was in our hair.
I can't imagine, man.
Yeah, it was pretty sad.
I seriously wonder. It's, it just, yeah, it looking boggled, back on it now.
It boggled my parents' mind. It was like, you want my son to learn, but now you want him to go home because his hair is too long.
And by too long, it's touching his ear.
Yeah.
That's, or his collar.
Because Satan would not like that.
I guess Satan would not like that. Yeah. Satan would not like that. Or maybe God would like it maybe. If your hair was yeah. short. So, yeah. His son's doing the sign of the devil horns in the next room. He's got short hair, by the way, your son. He does, so he's okay.
Oh, he used to have 3 foot long spikes on his head.
Oh, well, okay. He's not okay then. Yeah. Well, I've got long hair too. And we both have a lot of tattoos. So
and beards.
Yeah, we got a lot of facial hair, so I think we would not pass the code at any on any level.
At any Christian school.
At any Christian
we'd
school.
We'd scare them off.
It's funny because this particular school, they sold the campus where we went to school, and now they got a lot of money for that property, and they built a purpose-built building. Have you been by their new campus?
No. Didn't they sell it to the city or something?
Something like that. Yeah. It's like a maintenance depot. Yeah. And now it's an incredible state-of-the-art facility,
really?
Top of the range, everything brand new, purpose-built school.
Wow.
So, yeah, they're
purposely
rolling.
Built for God.
Purposely built for God. It's a Christian school. I don't know if they still have a hair code there, but I wouldn't be surprised.
And a dress code, I'm sure.
They're not going to be inviting us back to speak there at chapel.
No, I don't think so.
Anytime soon. I can remember some of those chapels. We had the one, I don't know if you were there, but we had one on the evils of rock music.
Oh, yes.
We had the guy who showed us the album covers.
Yes.
And clearly, the one I remember was Ozzy Osbourne, Bark at the Moon.
Yes.
And he's like in a werewolf thing, isn't
yeah.
he? On the cover. And it was like, look at this. This is clearly of the devil.
Oh, yeah.
And he was a Satanist, you know, and he bit the head off of a bat and they told the story. And I remember them playing Stairway to Heaven backwards.
Oh, yeah.
And trying to show us that it was had satanic backmasked
lyrics. They could never get it to work.
I really tried to listen.
But I kept telling them, I go, but if you play the Beatles song, it will say, you know, and it works because they actually did backmask it in.
They actually backmasked it in. Yeah, it's
but
true.
The Stairway to Heaven one didn't work.
Stairway to Heaven. And yeah, my brother-in-law used to say, yeah, if you played Stairway to Heaven backwards and then played that backwards, you're really in a world of shit.
Oh, jeez.
You don't know what it's supposed to be saying. Yeah.
That's awesome.
But the thing is, you went to an even smaller Christian school before.
I came from a...
So this was not a new experience.
Oh, no. I came from even a more cultish school. Mm. It was called... Well,
if that were possible.
This one's closed, so I'm going to say what it's called.
You can say what it is.
Yeah, this
it's
one's
not
called
even around anymore.
Langren Christian Academy. And when it closed when I was in the eighth grade, we had 8 people in our eighth grade class.
8 people.
Yeah. And the graduating class that year was 4.
What happened to the other 4?
No, the graduate. I mean,
oh,
the
I
seniors.
See, right. That was 4 people.
Four
in
people graduated
class.
That year,
right? Right.
And then we just got indentured into the other school.
The other school, which shall remain nameless.
Yes,
a Christian school in the Seattle area.
Yeah,
yeah. We'll just leave
but
it at that.
They did the same thing at at Langren. They did the evils of rock music, and the most evil band they could find was Styx.
Oh, yes, because it's the river of death and all
yeah,
that.
Yeah, and so, and it's funny,
Styx,
this teacher comes and he's holding the album, and I'm like, dude, I just bought that, that's sick. And he's like, what? I'm like, it's an awesome album.
You're clearly of the devil.
Yeah, it was the Grand Illusion album, you know, and they're playing Illusion, and I'm just like, I'm laughing at this guy. I'm like, okay, there's, you know, at least, you know, get some Kiss or maybe some Black Sabbath or, I don't know, Styx. The most of the
Well, you know, I had my Kiss cards taken away.
Oh, me too.
At my Christian high school, we used to collect Kiss cards.
Yeah,
and
I remember me and you sitting in class and we'd sit there and look at them.
Yeah. Well, one day I was sitting there and I had my pack of Kiss cards, and the teacher came around and was horrified. Here's Gene Simmons with blood dripping out of his mouth.
Why is your blood coming out of his mouth?
Exactly.
He's a demon.
Look at the boots he was wearing.
I know,
the boots are evil. You know?
Even his shoes are evil.
His shoes are evil. So I got my Kiss cards confiscated. I never got them back. He said he was going to give them back to me at the end of the day, but I never saw them again. So they're probably worth a lot of money now, those Kiss cards.
Yeah, this. So
I can imagine.
We had this unnamed history teacher, and I remember that day, Loverboy's album came out.
Oh, they're clearly evil too. Huh?
Yeah, well,
they're from Canada too.
Yeah, so I brought the album to school with me, right? And there's the one, remember the girl, and she was wearing just a white tank top. That's it.
Yes.
A girl in a white tank top. Okay, I was basically passing around pornography.
Of course
you And were. I had to give up the album that I just paid $8 for, go to the office, and fill out a form of why I do not like pornography.
I can't imagine Loverboy is considered pornography.
Well, the album, yeah, I'm like, it's a girl in a tank top.
Yeah, but that's porn, Jeff. Come on, man. God would not be pleased with your filthy... You're a filthy porn dealer.
I was. That's why I remember my mom came to pick me up, and I was pissed because I just paid $8.50 on this
album. You lost your money, man.
Yeah. And she's like, what's wrong? And I'm like, that teacher took my
album. Away Loverboy.
Yeah.
Of all the albums you could have had, Loverboy.
Mom, we were working for the weekend.
Working for the weekend. That's funny because this is a funny story. I was I tried to be a new waiver back in those days. Back
oh,
in the
Tim
early,
Aylin?
Yeah, yep. In fact, Tim was on this podcast not long ago.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, we had him on there, and Tim got everybody into British punk music
yes.
and everything.
And
I tried.
And Jason Walsh.
Yep, I tried so hard to be a new waiver and all that. But then I was working at a Christian summer camp 1 year, and a friend of mine brought in that very same Loverboy album. And he put
like,
on Everybody's
awesome
Working
for
the
weekend.
I'm like, this is great. I'm a rock and roller. That's yeah. it. Screw this new wave crap. I'm out of here. So, yeah, that was me. So Loverboy was actually the band that got me into rock and roll.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So the very band that you got taken away from.
You probably got my album.
Yeah. No, it was a cassette tape.
Oh, okay.
Unfortunately, it wasn't the album.
I do yeah. have a story about Tim Aylin, though.
Oh, let's hear the story about Tim. Since he was on the podcast, we can rip him a little bit.
Yeah. So I remember I went there before a lot of the other people did, and I got to go to the school and see it and everything. And I remember he was one of the first people I met. I'm like, wow, this dude, you know, he had really spiky hair, and he was all...
Yeah, he
you
was
know.
A California surfer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And so I remember I went into the bathroom, and I'm in the bathroom, and he had this little, probably one of the first, like, cassette things.
Oh, Walkman?
Yeah, but it didn't have earphones, so it was just played, you know,
oh,
it was like
a little cassette player.
Yeah, so he's playing the Sex Pistols, God Save the Queen, and I'm just like, whoa, dude, it's like, what the hell is that? It's
at
like,
a Christian school.
Yeah, just blasting him like, okay. It's like,
yeah, he got everybody into all kinds of weird music that we never heard before. Yep. Well, he turned me on to The Who, too.
Oh, really?
Yep. I went over to his house when I was in about 7th or 8th grade, I think, to stay the night, and... He put on Who Are You by The Who. And
yeah.
it was like, this is an amazing
you
album.
You never heard this before?
I never heard The
no
Who.
No way.
Dude, I grew up in a Christian
That's
fundamentalist
right.
home.
Yeah.
We didn't have a television. We were not allowed to listen to rock music.
Oh, so you grew up like Bob.
Yep. Your
wow.
friend Bob. Our friend Bob.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to have him on here at some point. We
oh,
got to hear his story.
Yeah,
man,
definitely.
You cannot make this shit up. You
I'm
cannot
serious.
Make this
I gotta
up.
I got to tell you the story when he first saw TV.
Bob?
Oh, yeah.
His
so,
first ever TV.
Yes. So they didn't have a TV. They weren't allowed to look
just
at TV.
Just like us.
Yeah. So I went to his house, evil. And I'm like, I think I'm a little house on the prairie, you know? Because I'm looking around. And
where's the TV?
Oh, well, so the first time I ever go to his house, they lived a block away from our school that we went to, right? And it was lunchtime. So he goes, hey, let's go to my house. My mom will make us lunch. Great. So we go,
cool.
go to his house, go there. And it's just a regular house, and I'm looking around, you know. And his dad is in a dark living room in the corner playing the harpsichord.
As you do.
By himself, singing hymns, okay? And I'm like,
so this
wow.
is the first time you met his
yes,
dad?
Yes, first time.
Oh,
I walk in, this guy's, there's a shadow in the corner.
And music's coming out.
Playing a harpsichord, singing hymns. And I'm like, that's freaking weird, you know.
None of this makes
I'm
any
like,
sense.
Okay. And so we go in the kitchen, you know, and no sugar, no pop. He'd never had pop before. No, nothing. You know, I'm like, hey, do we get a Coke? And he's like I said, the devil
yeah.
word or something, you know? Nope. We get water, you know, whatever.
Water or milk or?
Yeah, milk. They're big on milk. I don't drink milk.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Your mom
good.
Thought I was the devil anyways. And so he's getting some stuff, and this guy just chirps out, Jeff. And I'm like, oh, okay. So I go in there, and he's sitting in this chair, and he pulls the piano bench up between his legs. He goes, sit down. I'm like, what the hell? I'm 12, okay? 12.
Yeah, let's keep in mind, you
yeah.
weren't
I'm
you
a very,
12 years old.
I'm a very worldly 12-year-old. They
I was
going
to say, you had the Loverboy albums
yeah.
and everything.
So I sit down, and he kind of straddles me. I'm like, what the fuck is going on, you know? And he leans really in, and he goes, Jeff, how is your walk? I'm like, dude, we just walked from the school. I'm tired.
Yeah,
you know?
I can walk fine.
Yeah, I'm walking good, man. I had no clue what he was talking about, you know?
What are you talking
about? And he gave
about?
Me a really dirty look, and he goes, no, how was your walk? So I'm sitting there thinking, what the hell is he meaning?
What
know?
Is he after?
Yeah, here? I'm like, I don't know. I walk a lot. It's good, man. Whatever, you know? And he goes, so what are your intentions with my son? And I lean back, and I go, whoa, hey, no, I'm not gay, okay?
12 years old.
Yeah, I'm not gay. And he goes, I just want to know what your intentions are with my son. I'm 12. He's my friend. We're cool. Is that is that good? Yeah. So he thought I was, you know, apparently this happened a lot. And, you know.
I think it did. He must have scared everybody away.
Oh, it was weird. It was. Would just blurt out. He'd be like in the bathroom or he'd be, and he would just start like half a sermon or start singing. Or, and that, you know, it was the weirdest thing to me because I'd never.
You've never been around that kind of stuff.
But, so. Once again, no TV, no radios, no music, no nothing, right?
What better to do than preach?
So I invite him to spend the night at my house, right? Way different, okay?
I'm surprised they let him go.
Oh, there was a long talk.
Oh, yeah.
Signing papers, you know?
Yeah, contract.
Yeah.
Bob will not
eat this or that.
No Loverboy albums, that's for sure.
Broke out the Black Sabbath.
Oh, of course, yeah, you got that. Yeah. So, Loverboy's evil, Black Sabbath is fine.
Yeah. So he comes over and... my mom and dad are sitting there eating ice cream, watching TV, you know?
As you do.
Yeah, and he's just like, his mouth is agape, and he's just, what the hell, you know? And he kept coming, he'd go in the living room, and he'd come back out, and he'd just look at me like, what are your parents doing? I'm going, they're watching TV.
Eating ice cream.
And he goes, so when do you guys have, Bible study? I go, we don't. What?
Oh.
We don't have Bible study. Although, and then we'd eat, right? And, you know, they prayed before every time they eat.
Yeah, they did pray.
And he would just sit there and wait. You know, my dad's just like, your food's getting cold. Well, I guess I'll pray. You do what you want. We're hungry. It's like.
So you guys had already prayed and he felt he had to pray again.
We didn't pray.
Oh, you didn't pray.
Yeah.
But your parents went to church, didn't they?
We went to a very liberal Lutheran church.
Oh.
So I was Catholic light.
Yeah, I'm surprised that his dad let you in the house, being a Lutheran and all.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's...
Apparently, there was many talks of...
But the weird thing is Luther's the one who started the Reformation. That's where Protestantism came from.
Right.
So this guy, being an evangelical or fundamentalist, he wouldn't be where he was without Martin Luther.
Look at this.
So none of it makes any sense.
He actually let Bob come to my church.
Oh, I bet that was a shock.
Oh, so Bob's church. So Bob was sitting there working me up, right, to go to this church. Oh, man, it's so fun. You got to go to youth group. Now, for me, youth group was getting babes. That's what my youth group was about.
You were there
babes,
for the chicks.
Smoking and drinking. This is what happened at my youth group.
This is at the Lutheran church?
Yes.
Man. So, they didn't supply the smokes and the
so
stuff.
I'm thinking, okay, youth group, because that's what happens at my youth group.
Yeah, this will be fun.
Yeah, so Bob's talking his up. He goes, man, our youth group is awesome, man. You never had this much fun. I don't know, dude. I've had a lot of fun at youth group.
Sounds like it.
We've had sleepovers. Oh yeah. They call them lock-ins.
Yeah, I've been to a few of those.
We go to the school gym or the church gym and lock everyone in. Well, yeah,
it was a little bit of hanky-panky going on in the gym.
Yes.
Yeah. I remember
bring, five or six bottles of booze and then.
Typical church lock-in.
So I go. And he goes to this church in Seattle. It's just called The Church in Seattle.
Oh,
that
yes.
kind of gave me a heads
the
up.
The one true church.
Yes. I go, so what's your church called? The Church. Because it is the one true church.
That's it, huh?
Okay. So we go there, and it's a huge, really old building. It's like, I think it was in the old Lincoln High School building. You remember that set?
Oh, yes. I went to a church that met in that place, but it was a long time after that. Yeah.
So we're in the gym.
I know exactly where it is.
And there's a circle of chairs, right?
Okay.
And there's one in the middle. Okay.
That better not be me in the middle of this thing.
No. We had this place. We had a room called the Rumpus Room, and that's where we had our youth group, and it was all carpeted. We had beanbag chairs, foosball tables. We had a pool table. We had dartboards and music.
So it could have been fun. Yeah. Oh, yeah. At your church.
Yeah.
Right, right.
So I go to Bob's church. I'm like, this doesn't look like fun. This
no
like
foosball, no beanbag
school
chairs.
Or some shit, you know?
Yeah. This is not going to be good.
So we get there. We all sit down. And, of course, your hand. I didn't bring a Bible because I didn't carry one with me 24 hours a day. You know,
you should have. Yeah.
And they looked at me like, you don't have a Bible?
What's wrong with you, man?
No, I don't need one of my chairs.
Oh, those Lutherans, man.
We carried the catechism or
something. Yeah, something.
So we sit down, and this guy grudgingly gives me this Bible, you know, like, here you go.
Take it.
Yeah, so I took it, and this old man sits in the front, and he just starts reading. He didn't, you know, just starts reading the Bible, and Bob gets, you could tell him he was excited, okay?
He was all fired up.
Oh, yeah, he's going after it, and I'm just sitting there like, the hell's going on? And he goes, dude, come on, man, get in there. I'm like, okay, so I get
in where?
Yeah, so I'm, you know, reading along, and this goes on for hours, okay?
And reading the Bible.
There's boys and girls, but I guess they weren't allowed to sit together, so the girls had to see it on the other side.
Of course.
The boys on this side, because, you know, sex was going to happen.
Oh, yeah. During at the Bible study.
Yes. Well, I can't say that it wouldn't, because at my church it probably
would. At your church it might. It sounds like it.
So, yeah, this went on for hours, and there was like a break, and I go outside, and he goes, and he just comes up, and he is just beaming, right? He says, man, isn't this awesome? I'm like, no, I want to go.
That sucks, man.
Yeah, that was bad.
Get me out of here.
And I never went back. And he just like, dude, it's Friday. You want to go to? No. So I invited him to my church to show him what a youth group is really about. He liked my youth group.
I can imagine, yeah. He's probably not wanting to go back to his now.
We went on a snow outing. That was the first time I invited him on the snow outing.
Ooh.
My best friend at church, his sister was like a year or two younger than us. She latched on to Bob and was hanging all over him the whole weekend. He liked that.
He liked that, yeah.
And then, of course, you know, the usual chick that bought the booze. She bought a bunch of booze, and there was, you know. And our youth director was awesome. This guy's like, oh, yeah, you guys got enough booze? Yeah.
Got enough booze.
We're good, man.
Yeah, well, you know, Luther liked his good German beer, so they're keeping the tradition alive, I guess. So that would you say that was your kind of exposure to fundamentalism? Because, I mean, what
Bob?
You're talking about with Bob, they're so narrow.
Oh, dude.
It's unbelievable.
And then just
fundamentalism is just shockingly narrow.
And then everything we wanted to do. Now, I had an older sister that was 5 years older than me, and she got in a lot of trouble. And so my parents basically gave me a free pass. So they're
right.
Like,
so they were focused on dealing with her.
Well, she'd already gone out of the house and messed up. She was so, a lot of, you know, bad stuff went down. So they basically told me, we don't care what you do. Don't come home with the cops.
All
and
right.
I never did.
You never did.
I got in a lot of trouble. They just didn't know about it.
They just didn't know about it. Yeah. I think so, that's how I was.
Yeah, it was interesting. And then Bob's way of growing up. So, like I said, anything we did at his house, there had to be a talk about it.
Oh, yeah.
So where are you guys going?
Process it.
We're going to a basketball game at the school. Who's all going to be there? The school.
The
how many basketballs are there going to be? I don't know, Dad. Maybe four?
Yeah.
I'm serious. We had to narrow it down.
You were, like, interrogated.
What time do you think the basketball game is going to start? What time do you think it's going to stop? And then he would write this down. You should be home at 10:05.
Yeah.
If we weren't home.
Ends at 10.
Yes. If we weren't home at 10:05.
What happened then?
Oh. So we would go in the house, and then his dad would come into the kitchen, and Bob and his dad would go upstairs. Now, granted, by this time, we're in high school.
Yeah, you're not little kids.
He would go upstairs and get beat.
Really?
Yes. And then,
like, literally
I could hear this.
Spanked to
yes,
the point of
I could hear this.
Abuse.
And then for being, we might have been 4 or 5 minutes late.
Yeah, you came in at 10:09.
Yes.
And that's too
late. I told you 10:05.
So there was a strict curfew.
Oh, strict. Yes.
Yeah, very strict.
And then
where
he'd go out to the car and check the gas and the mileage.
Yeah. There's another discrepancy there.
Yes.
Another spanking. See, I was raised in a fundamentalist home. We got spanked all the time. But by the time we got to high school, my parents, I think that I had 5 older sisters and I was the youngest one. Yeah. So basically my parents, when they got to me, they just sort of gave up and they said, look, they didn't say do whatever you want. It wasn't quite as maybe as lenient as your parents, but they didn't have the energy to fight us on.
Right.
And
yeah.
I saw all my older sisters get in all kinds of trouble. One of my sisters got pregnant when she was 17 and it was just a mess. And my parents, we did a whole podcast on this, actually, me and my sister Valerie, talking about her story growing up in a fundamentalist house. It was unbelievable what they did to her. But I saw all this stuff going on, and I said to myself, okay, I'm going to be smart about it. I'm not going to get caught.
Right.
I'm going to do all this stuff.
Yeah, that's what me and Bob did.
I'm just going to be smart about it so I wouldn't get in trouble.
Right.
Because if they didn't know.
Yep.
I wouldn't, you know, get busted for it. But that didn't stop me from getting a lot of spankings when I was a kid, man.
I never had spankings.
Oh, man.
I can tell you one.
You got one spanking.
One I remember from my parents. And I remember my dad belonged to this really big business partnership thing. And they were all coming over for dinner. And I was like, I'm going to say 10. And I was a shitty 10-year-old.
You were a bad kid.
I loved to do stuff to my sister. I would do shit to her just to. And so he goes, whatever you do, can you be on your best behavior? Oh, yeah. No problem,
Dad. Can't deal with this.
Yeah. So I remember my mom was making us grilled cheese sandwiches and fries, right? And so my sister's sitting like right next to me, and I'm sitting right here, and I'm eating my grilled cheese sandwich is big, and the cheese is all oozing out. And for some reason, my mind, and my dad is like standing right behind us talking to these three businessmen that he wants to do this big deal with, right? And I'm just going, man, it would be an awesome idea just to smash this in my sister's face.
Oh, no.
And I'm just looking at her, and she's looking at me like, what? And I'm just,
what are you going to
do? I have this big smile on my face, and she's
she
like,
knew it was coming.
So I just grab it, plate and all, right?
Oh, no.
Bam! Right in the
in
face.
In the face.
Oh, yeah, it was awesome. Yeah, then my dad took me upstairs, and that was the only time. And I was horrified. I'm looking at him like, what are you doing?
Yeah. I think, yeah. shoving a grilled cheese sandwich in your sister's face, that probably deserved at least a spanking.
But I used to do stuff to her all the time. I remember she had several boyfriends, but this one guy, I didn't like him at all. And so he'd come knock on the door, and I'd make up names for him, whatever, you know. Hey, whatever's here, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And I go, and I'd look at him like, hey, you're not the guy that was here last night.
Oh, no.
And he'd be like, what? It's like.
Yeah, she had another date.
Yeah, I remember you.
Oh, no. That didn't go over too well.
No.
Now, the thing is, talking about our Christian high school that we went to, you didn't even make it through our freshman year, did you?
No, so.
Because suddenly you disappeared. We met at the beginning of the freshman year when you got shoved in from this other school that closed down. But then something happened.
Yeah, so.
And you got sort of booted out.
A
lot of stuff happened.
So we had a principal. Can I mention
I think him? We're going to have to name him, yeah.
So his name was Leonard Bader, and I swear you're not, he insisted on being called Master Bader. And I,
Master Bader.
My mom would be like, I'm not calling him that.
I'm not doing it.
And he had a plaque on his desk that said, Master Bader.
No way.
And my mom's like, no. And he goes, ma'am, I am Master Bader. I'm like, yes, you are.
You are, yes.
And she's looking at
me. No way.
And, no. Oh, yeah.
You can't make this stuff up.
And so... I would do anything to mess with this guy. And so me and another friend of mine, now Master Bader, had his own private bathroom, if you remember right.
I never went in there. Oh, let's put it that way. I think you did.
I used to use a lot for a smoking area.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure you wondered what that smell was.
And so me and this other friend of mine, this guy, Rick Martin, and we had a band. And
in air quote.
Yeah. And it was a double band, of course, you know, because it was called Wizard.
Oh, yeah. Wizards are evil, clearly.
And I remember I took spray paint in the men's bathroom in the school, and I wrote in gold, shiny paint, Wizard Rocks Federal Way.
Did you rock Federal Way?
We did. We rocked
Federal Way. We rocked Federal Way.
So anyways, I decided one day that me and Rick spent a night making pipe bombs. And I made this really big one. I go, this is going to go in Master Bader's toilet.
There's only one place for this pipe bomb.
And I stuck it in the toilet, and I thought Rick was still in there, but he was not. And
he was supposed to be watching out for Master Bader,
but,
wasn't he?
Rick turned into a big gaping puss and ran off.
All right.
Mr. Bader came in, and I thought it was Rick. I'm like, dude, you might want to get out. Oh, it's not Rick.
But the fuse was lit already.
It blew his toilet up. Blew it up, Luckily, I mean, I could have gotten a lot of trouble for that, and, you know, a lot of damages and this and that. And I was just basically asked to leave the school.
Politely asked?
Yes.
Or it was a strong suggestion.
I went into the...
Jeff, I think your time here is done at this
school. No, this is what he said. He goes, Jeff, you know, you've been a great asset to the school. And I'm like, bold. You know, he's like,
well, we know you're lying right off the bat.
Yeah. And he's all saying all the stuff. And he goes, but I don't think, you know, some people fit in here awesome and some people don't. You know, it's a fit thing. It's like a puzzle. And he goes, you just don't fit here. And I go, yeah, I get that. You know,
blowing up the principal's toilet, that would probably tend to do it, I think.
They didn't even call my parents.
So they kicked you out on the same day that you had the incident, the unpleasantness?
No. So they didn't. So the day went on. I went back to class, whatever, and I got in the car, and we're going home, and I'm like, so I'm not going here anymore. My mom's like, why?
What'd you do now?
She goes, well, what happened? I go, it's just, you know, a bunch. I didn't tell her because they didn't tell her, so I'm not going to tell her, you know?
Yeah, we'll keep it under wraps.
Just a bunch of stuff, and she goes, and you know what she said? She goes, good, because because the way it works is my parents had already paid for another year at the other school.
Yes,
so it was already paid for. So my dad, you know, I hated that school. And he, you know, they're like, can you just sweat it out until this year's out, man? Because, you know, it's already paid for. Just
keep it cool. Yeah. And, yeah. Keep your nose clean. Bide your time.
Yeah.
Obviously, you couldn't do that.
No, I couldn't.
You had a pipe bomb and had to go down the principal's toilet.
Well, I told you about the...
What else would you do? I mean, come on. I made pipe bombs when I was a kid, but I never flushed it down the principal's toilet.
Oh, this was a big one, too.
I blew up a hole in the street, though, in front of my in-law's house.
Nice.
I did do that, but...
I told you about the annual thing, right?
I didn't hear this story.
Oh, really?
No.
Also, one night, me and Bob broke into the school, and we broke into the annual room.
Yeah.
And we're sitting there, and they had them all ready to go to print.
Right. So everything's been approved.
Everything's been approved. Going to
all
print.
All been signed, sealed, right. About to be delivered.
Yes. So we open the first page, and on the first page is a picture of Master Mater sitting at his desk, looking all studious, you know?
Of course.
Like, wow. And so it was a really weird picture where you could mess with it, you know? And so if there was corrections to be made, right? So I erased all his hair and put a big mohawk on him, right? Boom, close it. Next morning, boom, goes off, gets printed.
To print.
Well, what they do, they don't tell you. So they print 20 and they send them to you, right?
Yeah, they're not going to print the whole run.
Right.
So hundreds of annuals right out the
back. So they printed 20 and sent them to him. So 20 of them had the ones with
the mohawk.
I had one with the mohawk. It was awesome.
How did you get that, man? I don't even know.
I just
how
got
you...
handed to me and they're like,
here you go.
So then I got called into the office again and I go in there and I knew because there's Bob. Bob's already in there.
And he is busted.
And he is dying, right? I go in there and he is just howling like a hyena. And I was like, oh man, what's going on now? And I look and Mr. Bader's got. Master Bader's got the annual in his hand. I'm like, oh man. And he turns it around and he goes, a mohawk. Really? Why a mohawk? It could have been, you know, short hair, long hair. I go, and I stopped him. I go, no, long hair is evil.
Oh, yeah. If it was touching his ears, it would have been evil.
I go,
or his collar.
So he's explaining all these different haircuts, you know. But he goes, but it had to be the mohawk. I'm like, yeah, why not?
Of course it did.
So he wanted us, that's the one where he actually called my parents. He wanted us to pay for 20 annuals and all this stuff. And I got you know, hung for 20 annuals, but.
So you did have to pay for it.
Yeah.
Huh? Wow. Well, how did he know it was you guys? I mean, he just must have known it was the two of you.
Oh, he just knew. It was us.
Who could have done this?
Right.
Who would do
it? Who would do this evil act?
It's got to be Jeff and Bob.
Right.
He didn't come after me, you know?
Well, that was a rough and ready recording. We actually recorded that in Jeff's kitchen. At one point, I think a train or two came through because his house is about 50 feet from the train tracks. And we had his kids walking in and out, getting themselves something to eat. So it was a bit crazy. You might have heard some bumping and some noises in the background. But hey, you know what? We had fun. We had a good laugh. And there's more coming next week. We're going to go with part two next week of Growing Up Evangelical. You can't make this shit up. Me and Jeff Judd are going to get into more stories about not just growing up in Christian high school, but some of Jeff's bizarre, zany experiences going to church. And as I mentioned in the podcast episode, we were supposed to be getting together with a friend of ours. His name's Bob Grayman. He was in Seattle the week I was there, but unfortunately, we couldn't get it together. And so I'm chasing him up. I've sent him a few messages on Facebook, but he's not real good about responding. So at some point, we're going to get Bob in there and have him on this podcast. And I want to hear his point of view because, as you remember, hearing the stories that Jeff told, so many of them revolve around Bob, his family, his parents, super fundamentalist dad, and all the weird and crazy stuff that went on at Bob's church as well. So I'm going to try to get Bob on the show. Now, we got coming up next week, as I said, part two with Jeff and me talking about growing up evangelical. And then kind of carrying on that same theme, I've got a couple episodes headed your way after that with Chris Stroop. He is a massive Twitter personality, huge in the ex-evangelical community, especially on Twitter, but he writes a lot of stuff, and he really gets into some of the more academic side of some of the same thing that Jeff and I were talking about. Okay, we're talking about maybe the more funny side, but you know, as I said before, maybe we're laughing through the tears because there's a very serious side to all of this zaniness and nuttiness that goes on within places like these Christian fundamentalist schools and evangelical churches, purity culture, and all the rest of it. And so this is something that Chris and I delve into a little bit more, although we're going to get into his own backstory. And as it turns out, Chris himself went to a nice fundamentalist Christian school in a different state, but his experiences are very similar to those that Jeff and I describe. And he goes through and talks about his conscience and crisis of faith and how he deconstructed and where that's led him in terms of becoming an ex-evangelical. So it does very much tie into a lot of the stuff that Jeff and I got into in this episode and in next week's as well. Now, I'm going to say, too, that there is a great reward headed your way if you are a supporter of Mindshift Podcast on Patreon. What I've started to do is I've started to record the pre-recordings as I'm talking to guests that are coming on the show. And speaking of which, Chris and I had a really good pre-recording chat that's, oh, I don't know, a good 35, 40 minutes long. That's basically a podcast episode in and of itself, but I'm going to reserve that for people who want to support this show on Patreon. I'll be putting it up on Patreon if you want to listen to our pre-recording chat, and I'm going to be doing that with more guests and putting those up and making them available to Patreon supporters as an extra reward for supporting this show and helping me continue to bring you great content each and every Friday, cover my expenses like podcast hosting and website hosting and all those kind of associated expenses, setting up interviews with people and some of the travel and so forth. So those are going to be available on Patreon. Now, what's coming up in the next couple of weeks and months? Well, don't forget, September 16th is the live Mindshift podcast recording session just south of Seattle. And again, as I mentioned, if you can't make that, go ahead and send me your questions or topic for discussion. And Stacy and I, as well as the live audience, will dig into those. And that may end up being two or three episodes because I'll also put those up as podcasts so you can hear that recording session. Also, I'm going to be interviewing Dr. Josie McSkimming from Australia, and we're going to be talking about her book. And I'm also going to be talking to Gary Hayes in the month of August, as well as touching base with my sister Valerie Cunningham, who's coming to visit me here on the Rock, and we're taking a trip down to France and Belgium for an epic World War I battlefield tour. I am really looking forward to doing this with Valerie. We're going to do a follow-up recording from the one that we did last year, which was called Surviving a Fundamentalist Upbringing, in which Val described her life and her getting pregnant at 17, having to give up her baby for adoption, according to our fundamentalist parents who were raising us in the great Bill Gothard legacy. I say that in air quotes. So we're going to be doing a follow-up recording. So you got a ton of stuff coming your way, some great content. So be sure to come back next week, catch the second half with me and Jeff Judd when we talk about growing up evangelical. You can't make this shit up right here on Mindshift Podcast. Yeah,